stimulation for your brain. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. You know, there are coffee table books, and then there are coffee table books. Right now, my favorite one has always been the one that is the Encyclopedia of Dogs. I can spend endless hours just looking at different breeds of dogs, their likes, their dislikes, and just go ahead and ruminate and daydream to think about what my life would be like if I only had dogs. Well, I got a book in the mail the other day, authored by John Waterman, called Atlas of the National Parks. Another one of these extraordinarily beautiful books published by National Geographic. And this book is so incredible. It didn't make it to my coffee table. It's still on my kitchen counter, where I like to eat and read at the same time. And I've been going through page after page. It's not just the pictures. It is the information about how extraordinary and how wonderful it is that America has preserved some land for the ages. And so joining us now is John Waterman, who compiled this extraordinary book. John Waterman, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
John, did you take the pictures of this book?
I did not. I was too busy researching and writing the book.
Right. But did you? That was the next thing I was going to ask you, if you wrote it and, you know, to what extent. So I imagine that you helped edit what the pictures would look like, because the book is a combination of maps and pictures and writing. It's just extraordinary in the amount of information you tell us about America's national parks.
Yeah, this is one of the joys of working for an organization like the National Geographic Society. We had the pick of the best photos on Earth, and I work with a team of cartographers and photo editors and editors that allowed us to produce this big volume about the national parks.
So here, let me ask you about some of my surprises. I did not know that there is a national park right at the tip of Miami.
Yeah. Biscayne National Park, right there. And they, like many national parks, they decided a couple of decades ago that they had to save this place because it was such a wonder of coral reefs and fish and natural plants on the various islands out there that if they didn't save it, they might lose it. So there it is, right there, right off of Miami Beach.
And it's really something. I mean, it looks like something I would want to visit. But how, if I wanted to, could I visit Biscayne National Park? Is it really open to me, or is it really more of a preserve for the creatures that live there?
Well, that is the great question, because that is the wonder of our national parks, because we not only preserve the creatures, the fish, and those rare cactus species and butterflies in Biscayne National Park, but we leave that park open to everyone, to all of the public. And people come from around the world to see these places because it's an ideal that is done really nowhere else. Sure, there are Serengetis in Africa, but we have many of these Serengetis set aside for perpetuity. So they are a democratic ideal at its best that we are saving for future generations and enjoying now at the same time.
Did you visit these parks, most of them anyway? Did you physically get to see them?
I certainly did. And I also had the opportunity to live in them and work in them because I used to be a ranger in Rocky Mountain and Denali National Parks.
Really? My daughter hiked through Denali. Denali's in Alaska, right?
Yeah. Well, good for her. I mean, that's an experience of a lifetime, hiking through Denali.
She was 15 years old. She went on one of these outdoor things for the summer in Alaska. And for 7 weeks, she had this 40-pound backpack on her back. And a lot of the trip was through Denali. And when she came home, I remember greeting her in the airport. Her skin was affected. It looked even though this was summertime, it had almost like a frostbitten. I mean, that's an extreme, but it didn't look good. Her skin on her hands and on her and on her face. It looked very weathered. Do you know what I mean, John Waterman? You know what I'm talking about?
It didn't. I know it well, and I have to say that you're a great mom for allowing your daughter to have that experience, because I think that Denali is one of my favorite national parks, and to go out there and get bronzed by the sun and see the wildlife and see the North America's highest mountain above you is something she'll never forget.
Yeah, I know. It's so amazing. I know. And I figured let her do it because I can't do it. So I can live vicariously through her. You know, what the heck? There's no way I'm carrying a 40-pound backpack through anything. So, John Waterman, so this is amazing that you got to visit these parks. So just share with us. I mean, if you were sitting around a campfire now and reminiscing, talk to us about the must-see beauties of America.
Well, Denali is one of them, to be sure, because not only does it contain the highest mountain, but as your daughter learned, you can see untrammeled herds of caribou running across the hills, being chased by grizzlies and moose populations and wolves. And you can see many of these things in many of the national parks by literally just looking out the windows of the shuttle bus.
Wow.
So whether you're there just riding the shuttle bus system or walking the pavement a few hundred yards to see Old Faithful erupt in Yellowstone National Park, or whether you go and spend 6 weeks with a pack on through the innermost recesses of these hard-to-access backcountry areas, you can have all kinds of experience in these parks. They are an incredible ideal, you know, set aside for the young and the old alike.
So, John Waterman, here we are in Connecticut. If we wanted to take a drive, let's say, I don't know, anywhere from 4 to 6 hours, and we wanted to visit a national park, where could we go?
Well, you can just about make it up to Acadia National Park in Maine. And there you can see these remarkable carriage roads that were built to allow visitors to see the fauna and the flora of that park. You can hike up to Cadillac Mountain and watch the sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean, or study the geology, that shows us the sort of earth building forces that created the continent right there on the edge of the continent, looking over the Atlantic Ocean.
Are people allowed to camp in these national parks, like in Acadia? Would I be able to pitch a tent or bring a sleeping bag?
Yes. That's one of the best experiences that you can have, is waking up to the sound of birds in the morning. And there are front country campgrounds that are easily accessed from your car. And backcountry places where you can go and get away from it all and not worry about social distancing anymore.
Must be phenomenal to have had this life of adventure. We're chatting with John Waterman, who authored this unbelievably magnificent book called Atlas of the National Parks. I mean, just one of these books that you feel a little embarrassed to read by yourself. It's the kind of a book where you feel like you have to read it with someone else so that you can teach and share and absorb at the same time. So if I was a parent or a grandparent, this would be what I would do for cuddle time. I would get out the book and I would learn and I would dream. And it would be a great way to plan another vacation, because that's really what it is. It's all about thinking about, oh, wow, I need to go there. I need to go there. Where do I really need to go? One of the things, John Waterman, that I was told, correct me if I'm wrong, is that a lot of our national parks have been very crowded before COVID, and that it was getting harder and harder for people to make reservations to go there. How true or not true is that?
Well, it is very true. It remains true. But it would behoove your listeners, if they want to visit a national park, to do a little bit of homework. Have a look at this book to see what spins your clock or turns your fancy, and pick a place that is not so crowded. Do a little bit of research and find those places rather than Great Smoky Mountains National Park or Grand Canyon, which happen to be two of the most popular national parks, or Yellowstone, go to those little-known places. Go to the Biscaynes and the Dry Tortugas and the Isle Royales. There are many among the 63 national parks that don't have a lot of visitation where you can enjoy the park as it was meant to be enjoyed.
And how do you do that? Do you go on a website ahead of time? And, you know, I mean, how do you arrange for your visit in a national park?
Well, this book was designed for people to be able to use the book, as you said, as an inspiration and a way to dream. And once you find a park or two that you want to visit, Google it and see where you can camp, see what hotels you might stay in on the way there. But my best advice is to figure out that park that you want to visit and get away from your car and the parking lots and the asphalt and get out into the heart of the park itself. Carry your sleeping bag and your tent and see primeval nature at its best.
Do you think that the national parks, John Waterman, are a little bit of a canary in a coal mine? In other words, can they teach us a little bit about what's happening to our environment because they have been relatively unspoiled by human development? So they're just basically prey to other larger forces going on in our environment?
Well, they will never be prey because we protect them and preserve them. But they are, it's very true, that they are examples of intact ecosystems. And one of the great things about these parks is that the interpretation there, whether it's on a ranger talk or a walk, guided walk, or through interpretive exhibits in the visitor centers and out along the viewpoints, there are many ways to go there and learn about these places. On beyond the Atlas of the National Parks book, once you get there, they're essentially places there, whether you want to learn about them or challenge yourself or just look at the scenery, there's something for everyone.
We're chatting with John Waterman, Atlas of the National Parks. I once went horseback riding in Zion National Park. And I still remember it. It was just the coolest thing. I went horseback riding there. I rented a horse or whatever. They had horses right there, and they took you along this ridge, and it was pretty like ridgy. Like, you know, you wanted to make sure that horse was very sure footed, which the horse knew much better than I. And it was a thrill for me. It was a real thrill for me to get on a horse and ride through Zion National Park for a day. I loved it.
That's a great example of just what the national parks offer us. Everything from swimming to boating to kayaking to horseback riding. It's they're not just places to go and enjoy aesthetically, but you can enjoy them aesthetically and challenge yourself or recreate or just look at the scenery and dip your feet in the river.
You must have learned so much. We're chatting with John Waterman. The book is called Atlas of the National Parks, and it's well titled because atlases, they're not just maps, but if you're an Atlas fan, you know that they give you a tremendous amount of information, and there is a tremendous amount of narrative here along with these beautiful pictures. There's really a lot to learn. Before I let you go, John Waterman, do you have a story or an anecdote of a personal experience with wildlife that scared you while you were exploring one of these national parks? Did you ever get scared by a creature?
Well, last year, in fact, I did, and I have been scared multiple times, and maybe that's one of the things that are great about national parks. You can not only go there and get challenged, but be alarmed. And in Everglades National Park last year, I was kayaking along the shore of the Everglades, and a crocodile went underneath my kayak and sent up a wave of water. Could have tipped the kayak over, but didn't, and was probably, in retrospect, more scared than I was.
Wow. In Everglades, I know the Everglades well. Every time I go to Florida, it seems like there are less and less of them. There's a new housing development every time I turn around in what used to be the Everglades. But I've been on those airboats there. You know, those loud, like, airboats that take you through the Everglades?
Oh,
they're too loud.
Fantastic.
They're too loud. Yeah, I know, but they're wet. But so, wow. Okay, well, John Waterman, thank you very much for sharing. Thank you very much for authoring this beautiful book. It's called Atlas of the National Parks by National Geographic, and it is really well worth having in your own home library. I think it's just a treasure, and thank you so much for creating it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on your show.
Pleasure. John Waterman on The Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.